Somewhere in the dark and nasty regions where nobody goes, stands an ancient castle. Deep within this dank and uninviting place lives...
From FC United of Manchester Radio, Swampy.
Hello.
Overworked servant of the thing upstairs.
Feed me.
But that's nothing compared to the horrors that lurk beneath the trapdoor. For there is always something down there, in the dark, waiting to come out.
Don't you open that trap door?
You're a fool if you dare.
Stay away from that trap door.
'Cause there's something down there.
Oh my goodness.
Ah.
Hello!
I know I'm late, but there's no need to... How are you, Swampy? Oh. How are you?
I'm fine, my friend. How are you?
I'm fine. What on earth is that? You in some kind
That's a church.
Are you in some kind of European square somewhere?
Church bells in the background.
Lovely stuff. More on churches shortly, as we'll be providing on this week's Red Rebel Radio, a tourist guide to the West Yorkshire town known as Geisler. But before that, it's time for introductions. Whoa. Hello, Swampy, how are you?
Oh, bonjour, good afternoon, good morning, and welcome everybody from around the world. This is indeed Red Rebel Radio Show. Well, half of Red Rebel Radio Show, and then the other half is dedicated to Ben, and part of a show that he'd like to do on his own show. Unfortunately, Marv won't allow him to do so, so he ruins half of this show. But I'm sure we'll get by. Good. Hello, everyone. How are you, anyway? How are you, Ben?
They're all well. I'm well, too. So, obviously, this weekend, we've got Geisler in the league. You're back for this, I believe.
I am indeed, Benjamin. I'm currently sat in my... My dining room at this moment in time in Uccle in Brussels, but I will be winging my way across the water, and I will be with FC United tomorrow. I'm getting the late flight this evening, so dedication is the name of the game, and I will be meeting up with you at Broadhurst Park tomorrow and get to know what seems to be a brand new team.
Yes, we were saying at the Chester match on Tuesday night that basically Swampy, it's like pre-season all over again. You've got to learn everyone's name. It's tough, isn't it? You've only been gone, 3 weeks?
3 weeks, and there's big changes. And there is, yeah. I mean, you know, Billy Priest is very easy to remember. I've seen him quite a few times, and obviously we've had a couple of Priestleys play for FC United and Manchester. You've got Lewis Thompson that's come in. You've got a welcome return for Michael Jones, or as I like to call him, Mike Jones, Lewis Mansell and Michael Donoghue, and also the return of Dave Carnell. We were getting used to some of the other new players as well, obviously, that have come in this season. But I think what Chaddy's done is he's brought in a little bit of youth, a little bit of quality, a little bit of pace, a little bit of fitness, which was clearly lacking for the early parts of the season. And it's shown in... It's shown in the results.
Now, just to say, we're recording this on Friday morning, so the Chaddy interview hasn't taken place yet. That's taking place this afternoon and will be available on Audio Boom later this evening. And we've also got an interview for the Shindig. We're going to be hearing from Tom Feener, who's the press officer at Geisley and also writes for the non-league paper.
I see. This is a footballing part of the show. And you get an editor and someone works for the non-league paper on your non-footballing show, and you infiltrate my show with nonsense to make it sound like it's not a footballing show. I see what you're doing there. You're convoluting two shows, putting them together, and actually having a half of this and a half of that and a half of this and a half of that. It's good thinking. Well done.
Thank you.
Just keeps
people tuned in. That's all.
Tuning out.
I was going to say we mentioned. Thank you. I mentioned a few low knees, and it's something that Paul said, and it's something I've said, and Woodsall said. Isn't it nice that we're finally using the loan system the way other non-league clubs use it?
Oh, sorry. I mean, I was about to say, yeah, Carlos Rocca, Jimmy Holden, they had low knees, didn't they?
Why?
Well, they're only 5'5".
Good. Very good.
Yeah. Oh! thought that was this is low knees. The way you said it, it was like footbally shoes. Oh, we've got some footbally shoes, have we? Oh, right, okay. Look at my little footbally shoes. But you meant footballing issues, or you meant low knees, didn't you, Ben? Low knees.
Low knees. That's what I said. Low knees.
You did. You said. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I tell you what, everyone sat at home now listening, go, yeah, I can tell the distinct difference between what Ben's saying there.
It's like when I go into a shop and I say, can I have free sweets, please? And they go, no, you have to pay for them. I mean, free as in free.
Yeah, but why would you have three sweets? Why would you go into a shop and ask for three? Can I have three sweets?
I've got three kids. That's a number three, by the way. I've got three kids, so it's a sweet each. Don't want to go over the top with the obese epidemic that's going around the world at the moment. Anyway.
The obese epidemic. Yeah. Yeah, very, very, okay. Yeah,
I read it in a newspaper once. Low knees. Low knees.
Yeah, Jimmy Oldham. Who else? Carlos Rocker. Yeah. There's been a few. The one thing is we know in Dave Chadwick's interview this evening, he's not going to be bringing any more loan players in.
How
because
you, know
you can
that?
Only have, oh, well, primarily because you can only have, I think, a maximum of 4/5 within any one team, and that's included being on the bench. So I think the quota is false, so to speak. So I don't think there'll be any new loan players coming in. He perhaps has maybe brought in players that have joined the football club. Who knows? But I don't think from a loan perspective. But the loan players he's brought in, yeah, as I said earlier on, he's brought in pace, youth, bit of quality, and fitness. And that's the major thing, fitness. I mean, Tuesday night, you know, we huffed and puffed after about 70 minutes for a little while. You know, the likes of Mike Jones, who's been out on loan, obviously, doesn't seem to have been playing a great deal, which is a great, great shame. These are two 90 minutes, and that'll do him the world of good because we know the great quality he possesses. If we get him completely fit, both mentally and then physically, he's going to be a great asset to the club for the rest of the season. The likes of Billy Priestley, who's been on the bench quite a lot, he's getting his match fitness back. But again, he's a fit kind of guy. And we need players to be on a fitness level of the likes of Chris Lynch. I mean, if you can keep up with the likes of Gilchrist, you know, in a game of football, then you know you are fit. I know he was blowing out of every orifice after that, but the same token, he got a bit of an injury as well. But we need that fitness level right up there. You know, we've had three really, for me, vital results. We've not been defeated. We haven't had many goals conceded. We've had our first clean sheet since April, which has been fantastic, and we can move on from there. And that's the one thing that, you know, we can look to these last three games and say, you know, we've seen some good quality. We've seen some thinking outside of the box from a managerial position perspective. We've been going at player teams in a game. We haven't just been sitting back and just hoping to just get something out of it. There's been thought and process in the team. Also, on occasions, have been good shape. The defence is improving. And all I can say is that I think, you know, tomorrow's result. You know, when you look at a team like Geisley, who've, what, drawn five of their nine games, and FC United are on a drawing run at this moment in time, to go there tomorrow and get a result, i.e. be a draw or a win, will be something that Dave will be certainly desperate to make sure he can continue to do.
Now, obviously, that's the league, and on next week's Red Rebel Radio, we will be covering the FA Cup. But we've got Cone in the FA Cup a week tomorrow, and that game is a tricky one because Cone are doing really, really well with Steve Cunningham in the NPL Division 1 West. So it's important we have a cup run, though, it feels like, this season, for obvious reasons.
Well, for obvious reasons. I mean, you know, Cone... rather than cone. Cone is what you get when you have an ice cream.
What the hell is wrong with you? It's cone. Cone.
Cone.
Cone. As in ice cream cone. Cone. Cone.
No, it's not.
Yes,
it
is.
There's an L in there. There's an L. It's a cone.
Silent L.
It's not a silent L. Calm down, young man. You'll have a... You started to hyperventilate.
For the listener, I'm shouting off mic, so it's funny. I know to you it sounds loud, but it's off mic.
Was that what you were doing?
Yeah,
was that humour?
That was humour.
Wow. Yeah. That was about It's about as humorous as the Conservative Party aligning themselves with Hungarian right-wing fascists.
Right. The thing is...
I think it's quite important that the listeners know that, you know, the Conservative Party...
They do know.
They've been calling out the Labour Party about anti-Semitism, about racism... For the last 3 months. All of a sudden, this show used to be political, Ben.
Our listeners and LBC listeners, our listeners are fully informed.
Thank you. Over to
you. No, I see. It's like that, is it? So you cut me off in mid-prime. You sound like a couple of Tories that know on LBC. Anyway, Colm rather than Corn.
Cologne.
It will be a tricky tie. They've got a young team. They're physically fit. They work for each other. They've got a set type of play. They're currently second in the division. You know, they've won five on the bounce. And it will be a tough... The one thing I'll be looking for FC and I'm looking for Dave is to... and supporters is because we need financially the money. We need a good cut run. It'd be nice to get into the first round again if possible and go a bit further on than that because, you know, it's about time we got ourselves back in to a certain degree the limelight, so to speak. We've got to make Broadhurst Park like a fortress. It's got to scare the living pants out of Colm. They've got to get there and go, wow, because we know they're a decent footballing team. You know, and the fact that Chaddy knows him, the manager, really, really well. You know, the thing is, there won't be any stone not unturned. He'll know everything about all the players. He'll make sure that the players are ready for the game, will Chaddy, because these are the kind of games that, you know, can define whether or not, as a manager or a temporary manager, you have the minerals to move forward in the game itself. So I think it's very, very important for FC, for the players, for the fans, and indeed for Chaddy, for me. I think it's a very important game for him. It could be the defining game, perhaps, I don't know whether or not he's gone for the role at all, but for me, it's a defining game, and we'll see how he fares in the FA Cup, because it is a great competition.
And here's an interesting conversation I was having with somebody before Tuesday's game. And there is obviously the BBC Red Button. They obviously covered, I think, Maltby Main against Frickle Athletic at the weekend. In the previous round, they did Radcliffe against Prestwich Hayes against Radcliffe. But unfortunately, what it means is a change of kickoff times. It's a 12:30 kickoff if the BBC are covering it. Would you object to the BBC Red Button covering an FC United against Cone game, Swampy, if that was the tie that was picked?
There's no need for an FC United versus Cone 12:30 kickoff. In all fairness, there are other clubs that are not necessarily. We need the money, obviously, but there are clubs really that I think that should be in front of FC United and Manchester, lower league clubs that are still in the competition. They should be there. I mean, from a Colm perspective, I can understand why. But don't forget, we played Sporting Kelsey, didn't we? A couple of years ago in the FA Cup, and it was when they first started this red button nonsense.
Yes. Can I just give a bit of other side of it? That red button thing is gone. Now it's just a game. It's just a commentary kind of thing. I think they'll go with City of Liverpool, to be fair, against Chester. I think they'll go with that game, but FC United have gone under the radar in recent years, so it's not about the money because there's not that much money anyway. But they have gone under the radar over the years. Wouldn't exposure be a good thing?
Well, yeah, but maybe first and foremost in the first round proper rather than in the early rounds. There are a lot of clubs that are as deserving, if not, in my opinion, more deserving, that have been around a lot longer than FC United and Manchester, that never had any sort of television exposure. FC have had plenty of that in the past, and I'm sure we'll have plenty of it going forward. So I think in these early rounds, it's only fair that the smaller clubs, they get the full exposure. I mean, the exposure that both Radcliffe FC got, and also Prestwich Hayes, wasn't it? Would be fantastic for those clubs. You know, for FC United and Manchester, you know, to be on television, let's say, in this round and getting beat by Colm, I don't think it'd do us any favours at all. You know, so for me, for the lower league teams at this moment in time, let them have the share in the limelight of the FA Cup and wait till the first round perhaps for hopefully FC United to the Manchester. The tire round for me,
South Shields
versus Stockport County.
Yes,
that is. That's. I mean, if I'm going to broadcast any game at all, I'm having that. A live kickoff. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, it can't be 3 o'clock. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Even in the FA Cup, it should be a three. It'd be a great 3 o'clock game. Live on the BBC, and that it's going to be a corker of a game. But, I mean, the FC game is going to be excellent, and there's lots of other great ties. I say City of Liverpool versus Chester, again, will be a very, very interesting tie. But, again, the FA Cup throws these up, and let's hope FC can get through, and perhaps further along we can have a bit more exposure.
Now, let's talk about managerial merry-go-round, Swampy. There's been a fair few changes at various clubs. I think Phil Brown...
Just before you do, Ben, I'd just like to let you know a little bit of trivia. Did you know that Dennis Healy was the only Chancellor of the Exchequer to appear on Morecambe and Wise?
I didn't know that, no.
And the reason why I raise that is because he's from Leeds, so it's relevant.
Okay, so... Managers go in the middle of September. Obviously, Tom Greaves left. We know about that. But what about Hereford FC's manager leaving, Swampy? Peter Beadle. Three promotions in 3 years. Gone.
He has, Marv, yes. Oh, sorry, Ben, was that you?
Marv wouldn't know that. How would Marv know that? He would never know that information, ever.
What he would have done, he would have gone onto the internet like you have and read about it and then wrote some notes and then sounded like you knew what you're talking about.
I mean,
you do it week in, week out. It's an interesting one. They've had an interesting pre-season. I mean, he's done fantastically well. I remember talking to him on a number of occasions on other radio shows. He's got them to a position where, you know, they've come back so quickly from losing the ground, as a club, disappearing completely, going back to the ground, and doing three promotions in three seasons. And, yeah, he won't be out of the game long. I can guarantee you that. He's not coming to FC, I wouldn't have thought, because he's just had a baby. He lives down in sort of like the Gloucestershire area, I believe. And, his knowledge is about Welsh players and more southern players than northern players. And, you know, I think managers really, unless they've got a good scouting network in an area that they don't ordinarily work from, I find it quite tough to come somewhere new and not know all the players in and around. But, yeah, I mean, listen, football, as we've seen in the Northern Premier Division in the last week and also in our division, the National League North, National League South, sacking, you know, the manager, Billy Rickey, a couple of weeks ago via text. It's very, very fickle. I mean, the fickleness of the sport has filtered down into non-league, and there has been a plethora of managers in the last week. Either resigned or been let go. The merry-go-round continues. But, yeah, Hereford situation, obviously, it's not a happy one because, when you've got a game in hand and I think you're 3 points off the playoffs and it's your first season in the National League North, there's something gone wrong and there's been a falling out certainly there. And I think it's been down to pretty finances and a few other things. But I'm sure we will see Mr. Beadle back in the game stronger and better with another club. And Hereford may well come to regret it by the end of the season.
And just to say, I wish everyone, all the managers well. I mean, there's been a fair few. Matlock, Lancaster City, Marine, all losing the managers in this past week or so. So it's that time of year.
Marine have got a manager come in.
Breaking Neil news, Young. Everyone. Yes, Neil Young.
Wow.
Yes.
And that's a coup, that, because Neil Young really is a manager that should be managing at our level, if not higher. You know, he's a top draw manager and he's done very, very well at the clubs he's been at. He took a bit of a sabbatical, didn't he? And last time I heard him, he was working at Halifax doing some work there. But he's taken the plunge. He's gone back into management, and I can see Marine now picking up. The manager that they've let go is a footballing legend as a manager. And perhaps do you think Tommy will that's it now for Tommy? Do you think he's going to hang his managerial gloves up?
I'm not too sure. Somebody who's not retiring, good segue. Someone who's not retiring from anything, it would appear, is Mr. Paul Scholes. And obviously, last week he was playing for Royton Town at Stockport Georgians in the Manchester Football League. And it was all over various non-league publications and sports shows and stuff. He actually played this past weekend as well and he scored a penalty shootout in the Cheshire Amateur Cup. In the Lancashire Amateur Shield, sorry. So that's not bad, is it, for Royton Town?
Hold on a second. Paul Scholes.
Yes.
Do you think maybe a bit of publicity for Royton Town, as in Oldham? Oldham Royton.
Yes, as in Royton Town, yes. You play the Oldham Academy North for their home games. Yes.
Interesting one.
The thing about it is, some people might be suspicious of it. Royton didn't publicise the fact. It was actually a random supporter who filmed it. A random supporter.
Why was he a random supporter? Well, just some guy.
How's that? Right, just some guy. Might have been a girl, just for a, all I know. Might have been
just,
a non-
just a supporter.
Hey, it might
just
have been
a supporter.
It could have been a non-league dog. It could have been the corner flag. It doesn't matter. But anyway,
Ben, this is how you would have done it. And did you hear the news last week, Swampy, about Paul Scholes, who played for Royton Town? No advertising at all from Royton, but a spectator in the ground filmed it, and lots of media outlets then took it over, rather than going some randomer who wanted free sweets with low knees because he had a very long Macintosh on, so he had very low knees. No, Ben. Let's keep this. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know why you brought the Paul Scholes thing up. Is there any relevance to bringing up Paul Scholes?
Because you talked about retirement, and I had the non-league paper open, and it was on that article.
I see. Fair enough. Yeah. I didn't get last week's, unfortunately, because they don't sell it in Tipperary.
That's a shame. Just to say, I did promise you some form of tourist guide for you supporters heading to West Yorkshire on Saturday. I've got two things, two attractions.
Before you do, Ben, just in case, because obviously this is very important and we are a public information broadcaster, if anyone gets lost, in Guiseley, the postal code is LS20. But more importantly, if basically you've lost your mobile and you need to use a public telephone, the dialing code is 01943. That is 01943.
Brilliant information. So two elements on TripAdvisor. There's two attractions which stand out a country mile. There's only 8 things to do in Guiseley, apparently, so I'm only going to give you the top two. The first one, Swampy, is Guiseley Retail Park. And I'm just looking at the sign. At the retail park, you'll be able to find hobbycraft, pets at home,
ooh,
Boots, KFC, Carphone Warehouse, and Costa Coffee. So there
hold
we
on
go.
A second, Ben. Yes. Ben, do you really want pets at home so close to KFC?
Well, it's handy, isn't it?
Well, it could be, yeah.
It's strange how that KFC was the only one left open after the chicken crisis last year. Anyway, and finally, for things
chicken
to do, guys.
Chicken crisis.
It was a chicken shortage crisis. Don't you remember that last year? Anyway.
I don't think it's a crisis, is it? I don't think, you know, and here, good evening, welcome to headlines.
See, what's headlines?
Crisis in the UK as everyone goes hungry because KFC's closed down. It was hilarious. People were going mental on yeah, ridiculous.
Where am I going to get my gravy from? And finally, this is true. This is genuinely true. The second most popular attraction in Guiseley, with 4.5 stars from 11 reviews, it's the Guiseley Wall. And Swampy, I've looked at pictures, it is just a wall. It's not like the wall at Chester, which you can walk around.
It's a wall, yes.
It's just a wall.
It is, yeah. Well, it's a good job I've done some research for you, isn't it, Benny? It's a good job I have today.
A couple of the reviews, looks good in the summer, and great history. That's it. It's just a wall.
Talking of history, just to bring a parity of sensibility and normality to this show, rather than the utter nonsense
just
that the Guiseley Wall. Yeah. Well, What kind of brick is it made out of? Is it an old brick? Is it a new brick? Is it a Yorkshire brick? Is it a Lancashire brick? Do we have any inclination, any idea?
I'm just looking to see if it's even got a Wikipedia page. It might not even have one. Let me just check.
Why don't you do that, Ben?
It's not even got a Wikipedia page. What kind of tourist attraction is this? I mean, the retail park has.
Ben. Oh, dear. St. Oswald's Church, Ben.
Yes.
St. Oswald's Church in Guiseley is quite famous because that is the place where Patrick Bronte married Maria Branwell and went on to father children such as Anne, Charlotte and Emily Bronte.
Okie dokie.
I'm not, but I've got, this is possibly the greatest bit of information you're ever going to need.
Was that St. Oswald's Church?
St. Oswald's, yes.
Yes, that's the number 6 out of 8 things to do in Geyser. Beating it, though, at number 5 is the West Side Retail Park, which...
What is it with retail parks in Geyserley?
It's got an Argos, which I think is what puts it just ahead of St. Oswald's Church there, the historic church.
Where's Harry Ramsden's? Did you know, though, Ben, that the global campaign for community public access to defibrillators was founded in 2013 by Brian Firth?
Really?
From Geyserley, yes. There we go. That is genuinely good news because defibrillators obviously have helped save huge amounts of lives. So, but the global campaign for the community public access of defibrillators founded by Brian Firth, who was a first aider in Geyserley in 2013. But also, Ben, did you know Harry Corbett?
I didn't know that.
Do you know who Harry Corbett is, Ben?
No.
It sounds like you know. Right, let me just talk to my non-talking puppet to my right-hand side. What's that? Okay.
Matthew Corbett's dad. Right, got it. Matthew Corbett's dad. I'm younger than you. I'm younger than you, just to say. Matthew Corbett was my sooty handler.
Was he? Tamsin Archer did Sleeping Satellite, the song Sleeping Satellite, remember?
Nope.
Thing from the moonlit sky.
It was a theme tune. I hate that song.
It was a theme tune in Sleepers in Seattle, I think, wasn't it?
Sleeping in Seattle, yeah.
Yeah, Sleeping in Seattle.
Right, Swampy, just before you go, predictions for tomorrow against Geyserley.
There'll be players on the pitch, there'll be some fans there. If they do great mushy peas, I'll be very pleased. And I'm expecting FC United to get at least a draw out of the game, and if not, go and win the game. I think it's about time the opportunity for us to do so against a team that draw a lot of games. They are a few points in front of us, but that doesn't mean a great deal this time of the season. And it's a real opportunity for Willoughby to keep his goal run going, and also the youngsters to really show the mettle. And I'm hoping for a 3 points, but I will be satisfied with a point and a good result.
And before you go, Swampy, song for this week to close the show, please.
Well, Ben, did you know, this is just quick top five for you, that the top five bands of Yorkshire, Leeds, stroke Geyserley, in no particular order. Well, these are my top five bands are, anyway. The Wedding Present, number one. Sisters of Mercy, number two. Soft Cell, they're from Leeds. I never knew that, in number three. The Gang of Four, a band from the 70s and 80s and 90s, in number four. And The Mission, number five. And notable others, Ben, that come from the same area. The Pale Saints, the Pigeon Detectives, Utah Saints and Chumbawamba.
So, which song are you going to play?
Christopher. No, I think I'm going to have Brass Neck by The Wedding Present, a good Yorkshire band. George Best, one of their albums with that iconic picture of George Best on the front cover. And a band, Ben, even you would have perhaps bopped around to with your floppy hair in those indie days at the venue.
Well, Swampy, a big thank you for joining us. Safe journey over here and we'll see you Saturday.
Okie dokie, take care everybody and see you next week where I will be definitely in a different country.
All right, thank, right, we've got the idea.